Ephesians chapter 5, not one verse, sorry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, 16, and 17, right? Three verses, all right? I know there's only one verse there, but we're reading three verses, right? Just to get the context. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, I'll read 15. You read 16 and we'll read 17 together. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly," that means diligently, "not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16. Verse 17 together. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are but people saved by the grace of God. And Lord, as a result, we become your children. But not only that, Lord, we become your instruments, Father, by which you can use for the establishment of thy kingdom on earth. Lord, in the disciples' prayer, you taught us to pray, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, tonight we want to understand how to seek your will. How to find out, Father, what you have for us to do. And amidst all the voices, Lord, of people and opinions from all over, may we hear your voice first. Above all, may our hearts be set, and may our radars of our hearts, Lord, be quick to receive the frequency from heaven that this world sometimes, many times, miss. May we never, Lord, fall into a trap of being distracted, deceived. Many times, Lord, we're totally not even on your radar. And so, Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will speak to us in a special way. Teach us thy will today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Okay, maybe just a beginning question, all right, just to start this whole thing up before we even talk about God. So we're talking about discovering the will of God. How many of us actually be confident right now and say, "I know what is God's will for me right now"? How many of us can say that? I know what is God's will for me right now. This is an important question for all of us, okay? Because as we go through life, remember our Christian life is not based on what we think. It's based on what God says, all right? Let's just explain Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 as we start. The Bible says here, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Okay? The word unwise means mindless, senseless. Okay? You can jot down this. It's very important as I was studying this. It's so important to make the contrast between those who know God's will and those who do not. Okay? So, firstly, the word unwise has the idea of mindless, senseless. Mindless, okay? You actually also have the idea of ignorant. In our word, don't know, unwise. Interestingly, embedded in this word unwise is also this word, being an egotist. What's an egotist? What's an egotist? Anyone? What is being egoistic? Anyone? What's an egotist? Anyone? Extremely proud, okay. I just read the interesting. I just read the definition from a dictionary there. Okay. An egotist is one who repeats the word I very often in conversation or writing. One who makes much of himself or magnifies his own achievements. One who makes himself the hero of every tale. That's an egotist. Someone who magnifies himself. Okay? God actually calls a person unwise. Okay? The meaning of unwise also have the idea that an egotist is someone who assumes that he is right all the time. And that God actually calls this person unwise. Okay? And therefore, is an unwise individual is also rash. So the word unwise in Ephesians 5:17 has the idea of mindless, senseless, ignorant, someone who assumes that he is right all the time, someone who is actually practically rash, very impulsive. it also involves unbelief. When a person is unwise, means the person don't believe, and therefore he chooses his own way, and therefore God calls him unwise. So, the word unwise is either being mindless, ignorance, egotistical, rash, presumptuous, unbelieving, foolish. Okay? So that's, God says, don't be mindless, don't be ignorant, don't be an egotist, don't be rash, don't be unbelieving, and don't be foolish. Be not all these things, God says. But, on the other hand, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What's the meaning of understanding? What does understand mean? Understand mean? Yeah, answer it now. Yeah? Anyone? What does understand mean? Right? Discerning. Okay, the word understand interestingly has the idea of discerning. Okay, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the Greek word is interesting because the word understanding in the Greek means to mentally put things together. Mentally put things together. So which means that like you have a big puzzle and you are able to mentally put everything together to come up with the appropriate picture. Okay, the word understanding what the will of the Lord is literally means, but discerning what God's will is. Don't be ignorant, don't be senseless, don't be unbelieving, don't be egotistical, but discern what God's will is. That's what Paul is trying to tell the Ephesian church, okay? So being able to put together the things so that you know what God's will is. Now, just moving on, what is God's will for us in this life as Christians? Anyone? What is God's will for us in this life as believers with regards to His will? Listen to a few verses. Okay, listen to a few. Maybe Jeremiah, you can take 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. If Joanna, you can take 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Then Jara, take Matthew 6, 33. Then we'll all turn to Matthew 12, 50. Okay? Matthew 12, 50 for all of us. What is the will of God for us in this life as believers? Based on these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which encompasses the entire man in this life. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Okay, so whatever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, all to the glory of God. You know, what's the smallest things in your life have to be done to the glory of God. That's what the passage actually teach. Every single thing. Right? Every single thing could include how you tie your hair, how you dress up, how you, or where you go, things you do. Every single thing, we are to do it with the aim of God's glory in mind. Okay? Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, how do we then know after we talk about it? Let's look at Matthew 12, 50. Matthew 12 and 50, I think we're all there. Let's read this verse together. Let me just put there first. Okay, let's read this together, right? Matthew 12, verse 50, ready? 1, 2, go. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ used, there was someone who said, hey, Lord, your mother and your brother want to see you. And then Jesus actually turned it into a learning point for everyone and said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? And then he actually said, whosoever will do the will of God, of will of my Father which is in heaven, that person who does God's will has a relationship with me. That's what he's saying. Does it make sense? Person who does the will of my Father in heaven has a relationship with me, has a close relationship with my Father, is in my own family. Okay? And that's an important thing. So the will of God for us as His people is to do His will in this life. The will of God is to do His will in this life, in every small, minute detail. Okay? Any questions? Straightforward, right? Okay, so it is important for us to do the will of God, So if it is important for us to do the will of God, then it follows that we need to know God's will. Alright, so we need to know God's will. As Christians, why do we need to know God's will? Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Why do we need to know God's will? Based on Paul's writings, Paul is simply saying, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to buy back the time because the days are evil. All of us are given 24 hours every day. Okay? It's kind of like God gives us redemption voucher every day. As you wake up, 24 hours give you. Alright? How we use the 24 hours depends very much on what is God's will in each situation. Okay, you only have 24 hours. How many of us have more than 24 hours? There was one time, I think I shared before, in Philippines, we went there. There was one Shell station. It said, open 25 hours. It's like, I think it's trying to attract people's attention. But all of us have 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. And so Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are evil means the days, you only have 24 hours. Time is short. If you don't catch it, you lose it. Things are not on your side. The days are evil. It's not on your side. Okay? Therefore, we need to operate in our lives not in an unwise manner, but understanding what God wants us to do with the 24 hours on a daily basis. Does that make sense? Paul is saying, look, the days are evil. Don't waste time. Redeem the time. Know God's will in every situation and put your energies where God wants you to put them. Any questions? Does that make sense? That's a very important principle. And every Christian needs to live by that principle according to what Paul says. Okay, what is the condition of many Christians today? I read a quote. Yeah, many Christians are foolish and have no discernment, and this many times disqualifies them from real usefulness in the service of God. Okay, so there are four questions there. Maybe we just throw up some answers. What kind of life did God give us when we get saved as a Christian? What kind of life? Just generally. This is to look at our understanding of, as a Christian, who am I in the sight of God? Okay? Anyone from here? What kind of life did God give us as a Christian? What kind of life did God give us as a Christian? Not a trick question. So when you get saved, you become what? Child of God, okay, become a child of God. You're born again, okay, what else is given to you as a, you're given abundant life, okay, what else? Victorious life, God has given us equipment for a victorious life. So as a Christian, God has given us, the point is many Christians have little or no discernment as to the true nature of the Christian life. Our Christian life is a new life, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? It's a new life. We don't have to live the old way. Did you know that? We don't have to say, why am I always like that? We don't have to. Did you know that? God has given that provision, okay? It's a new life. It's imparted by the new birth. As I was mentioned, Brother Song Lee, he must be born again, okay? Just like when all the mothers here will give birth to a young child, the young child has different, totally different nature, totally different personality, totally different way of looking at things. New. Okay, it's just as a Christian, our new birth leads us to think God's way. It's a new nature in us. Okay, the kind of life God gave us is also what we experience on receiving the Lord Jesus is that we have received a new family. We have a new Christian family. All right, God says, "Well, as many as received Him, to them gave Him power to become the sons of God." God also gave us provision for an abundant life as a Christian. John chapter 10, verse 10. But these are the things. Christians, do we realize that? Do we actually realize we have the Holy Spirit living within us? That we can actually be victorious in every situation. Okay, so that is the will of God. Okay, so verse two, question two. What is the will of God for the local church in this day and age? What's the will of God for the local church in this day and age? Very basic question. But what's the will of God today? It's the will of God for the church today. Sorry? What is the Great Commission? Sorry? Okay, to serve in the will of God for the local church is to serve Him, yes, but more specifically, it's the Great Commission, right? So what does the Great Commission involve? Sorry? What? Going into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature, okay? What else? Baptizing them, what else? And then, and teaching them, okay? So the first teach and the second teach in Matthew 28 is different, okay? First teach is to enroll, second teach is actually to disciple them. Do you realize that the will of God has never changed for the local church? People on the internet and say, local church is no longer important. Now they are small house churches and just basically do what they want. No, God's will for the local church has never changed. And it will never change until Jesus Christ comes back again. And we have to understand that because in the name of newness, I'll say, come on, let's stop talking about evangelism and we can't. This is the will of God for the local church. What's the will of God for ambassador now? We also have to be very, very clear. Okay, ambassador's job is to stay right in where God's will is with regards to the Great Commission. Okay, among other things. Okay? What is another will of God for the local church? I'll just give you, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Let's just read this together, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Ready? 1, 2, go. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, what's God's will for the local church? It is to be the place where God is found, the house of God. Okay, it is to be the church of the living God. That's why people who join the church must be saved, must be able to share their testimony, and also it should be the pillar and ground of truth. All right, the will of God for the church is to be the pillar and ground of truth. Okay, so this is an important thing for us. So, okay, question number three, what's the purpose of God in this world at this time? What's the purpose of God in this whole world? When you see the things happening in different parts of the world and things like that, sometimes many Christians get discouraged because they don't see the plan of God. They don't see that actually it's all part and parcel of the end times. Okay, we all know that Jesus is coming soon. All right, lots of things are happening all over this world, and the purpose of God in this dispensation, He is forming His church, and in this world, the kingdom of God will not be built on earth in this age, but the world will go on getting worse and worse. Did you know that? That's the will of God. Not that God purposely allowed it to, but because of man's hardness of hearts and sinfulness, driving towards a preparation for the coming Antichrist, we know that the world is getting worse and worse. The church is going through a tremendous, tremendous strain. Okay, and Satan doesn't want the church to stand. Okay? And so there's an important point. And what is God's plan for the future? Many Christians need to understand this. There is a coming day that Christ is going to come back and rule this world in the millennium period. Okay, so these are some of the things, the state and condition of many Christians. Do you realize if we put this in perspective, this is God's will, it will affect us. Okay, the next part we're going to go, what is God's will? What is God's wish? And the desire for men and women. Okay, so we just go through it generally. And then after that, there will be a part whereby how do we know God's will? When we practically look at the Bible, and I say, okay, what's God's will in this particular verse? What is God's will in this particular verse? Okay, so let's quickly just go through. What is God's plan for all men? What's God's plan for all men? God's plan, God's will for all men is to be saved. Okay, the Bible is very clear. All right, it's not 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Question, if that is God's will, translate that into our lives, if that is God's, that's what God wants us to do, His will, what should we be doing? We should be His hands and His feet. Okay, we should be His hands and feet to take the gospel to someone. Okay? And what is God's plan for those who are already saved? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. What's God's plan for those who are already saved? After you're saved, you need to be? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Let's read there, okay? Read the two verses together. Ready? 1, 2, go. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So what's the next thing? What's God's plan for those who are already saved? Is to be sanctified. Is to be set apart. The word holy, the word set apart, the word saints all come from the same Greek word, hagios, meaning to be set apart. Christians, every one of us who are saved, need to be set apart for God, because that is God's will. Because God says, be ye holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God says, okay? But what's God's plan for those then who are saved and being sanctified? What's the next step? After you're saved, you begin to be sanctified, you need to be serving. Okay, let's turn to two verses. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, I think we all know the passage. But let me just read that, okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, take sanctification. After you've known the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. For what purpose? Which is your acceptable or reasonable service. Service to the Jews always means bringing something to God. But when we become a Christian, the thing that we bring to God is not something. It's us. Our entire body, so that we can actually be a service. When the animal in the Old Testament has been burnt up, or have been used as a sacrifice, the remains, the fats and all that will be given to the priest, some parts will be given to the poor, so it can be a service, a blessing. You know, our life is to be a service to God as a Christian. You realize that's God's will. That's God's will. Okay, God's plan for those who are saved and sanctified is that we be serving. It must be an area in our life that we give our heart to serve the Lord, okay? So the next point, what is God's will for those who are saved, sanctified, and are currently serving Him? Listen to two verses, alright? Maybe people on my left, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 17. On my right, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Then after we all turn to John chapter 12, verse 24. 1 Peter 3, 17, people on my left. If you are there, you just read. Ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, it's better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Philippians 1:29, people on my right, ready? 1, 2, go. So what is God's will for those who are saved, being sanctified, and currently serving Him? Expect. In the notes, expect to suffer. Expect to be experiencing opposition as you serve Christ. And that's something important, and the author was mentioning that many Christians are not taught this. So when they face the persecution, just on Wednesday, I think because of the Ramadan, Hari Raya Puasa is just over, and so some people just came out from prayers and all that, and so someone on Wednesday night was just giving them a tract, and they got a thrashing. Said, how dare you give me? No, I'm wearing this. You're not supposed to give me. Started to scold us for those perverts. Okay, I'm sorry, let's move on. You know, as you serve the Lord, so the person will say, well, a long time now, I get scolding really for this. Not that we want to, but you know, you need to expect this. You need to expect that sometimes when you serve the Lord, there will be, I received an email from Dr. Ron Comfort. He actually wrote something. You can expect opposition when you're serving the Lord. Satan leaves you alone, you're not doing anything for God. So he doesn't have to do anything. Okay? So expect to go through difficulties and opposition as you are serving the Lord. And as Christians, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Okay, if we run from the battle the first time an enemy comes, it's God's will for us to be willing to face the enemy. And sometimes you go through the difficulty. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went through that. Joseph went through that. Daniel went through that. The Lord Jesus went through that. And if this man of God go through the suffering to serve Christ, what about us? We need to be ready. There is the will of God. Okay? Let's turn to John chapter 12, verse 24, though. I want to highlight one thing. And I shared the last time, 2 weeks ago, but the reinforcement of this point, I think, is important. John chapter 12, verse 24, what Jesus said. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus mentioned this. If you read 23, you realize that Jesus was talking about his death. He said in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into a ground, the ground, and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit." For those of us who understand, seed actually, correct me if I'm wrong, seed actually have potential for growth. There's life inside. Under the right circumstances, under the right conditions, it can flourish and grow. Okay? If you look at what Jesus is saying, you realize for every Christian, there is that potential that God has put in every one of our lives. And it cannot flourish unless we are willing to die. I was reading one commentary about what does it mean. When the seed goes into the ground, the life itself actually have whatever that's contained within actually have to surrender itself in order for the sprouting to start coming up. Okay? Which means that seed literally has to die and decompose before the fruit actually comes. Jesus says, if it does not die, it will just abide alone. There will not be a flourishing of fruit. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. And I think that is where the rubber meets the road for us as Christians. When we serve the Lord, it's not just serving, are we willing to die? I was reading a book. George Mueller actually made this comment. There was a day in the life of, that George Mueller died. He died to himself. He died to his ambitions. He died to everything, even his own opinions. And you know what? When I read that, I was asking myself, Lord, have I died enough? Have I died enough? You know, the day that George Mueller did that, God used him mightily for 70 years. And even up to today, sadly, the George Mueller Institute closed last year, 2012. Okay, but in his life, it lasted over 100 over years. Because George Mueller had this testimony, he died to himself. You know, God's will is for us to be saved, to be sanctified, and currently serving Him, that we must be ready to also surrender and suffer if we need be, okay? And so, finally, what is God's will for those who are saved and sanctified and are currently serving Him? In John 15, verse 2. Let's turn there. John 15, verse 2. And I'll talk about it a little bit. But in John 15, verse 2, I want us to notice one thing about the Lord's will. Every branch in me, verse 2, that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, they may bring forth more fruit. What do you think the will of God is for every Christian? What's the will of God for every Christian? That they might bear fruit. Every Christian needs to bear fruit. Okay? There are two types of fruit in the Bible, very clearly. What are two types of fruit? Souls is one, definitely. Souls is one. What's the other type of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit of God. So which means our character must change more and more as we become a Christian, and also the fruit of souls that we can bring to heaven as well. These are the two things. And it's important that it be manifested. John 15, verse 8. Okay? Let's read together. Okay? John 15, verse 8. Ready? One, two, go. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." God made it clear. When we bear much fruit, God gets glorified. Okay? So, how do we know the will of God? This is the time that Robert Miss Rose. How do we know the will of God? This is the most important thing, okay? How many of us think that there was one time we were in a group about 20 years ago as a Christian, young Christian. There was one particular person who said, you know what, finding God's will is really very hard. How many of you believe that? Okay? How many of you actually believe that finding God's will is hard? Okay, let's turn to a few verses, alright? Maybe we'll get Brother Taylong, if you don't mind, you can turn to Psalm 25, verse 9. Then maybe Sir Elizabeth, you can take Psalm 32 and verse 8. There are many, many other verses there. Can you read that? Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he teach, the meek will he guide. Okay, Psalm 32, verse 8. God actually says, I will guide thee. How many of you believe that? I will guide you. I want to pause there. How many of us actually believe God can guide us? That God can guide us. What do you mean? I've never experienced that before. God does guide us. Did you know that? God does guide us each step of the way. Sometimes we may not see His hand, but He definitely guides us. Okay? How does He guide us? I'll give you 3 points. Number one, He guides us by His Word in response to our study. And that's an important part, the second one. He guides us by His Word. How do we know God's will? By His Word in response to our study. If you don't study God's Word, you will never understand His will. Okay? If you don't study God's Word, you will never understand His will. The more we study God's Word, the more we become acquainted with the things that are pleasing to Him and God's desires for His children. We're going to take a few verses, okay? Different people. And then we're going to find out what is God's will, okay, for this in this particular verse. Maybe brought Sister Agnes, we can turn to Exodus 23, verse 2. Okay, Exodus 23, verse 2. Brother Song Ling, we can turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Okay. Brother Gideon, you can turn to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Okay. So we'll just touch on those three first. And the question we want to ask, as we read this verse, what is God's will in these verses? Just answer that question, okay? What is God's will in these verses? Okay? Let's do the first one. Exodus 23, verse 2. Just the first part. Yeah, Exodus 23, verse 2. Just the first part. First sentence. Or first part of that verse. Up to the comma. Okay, so what is God's will in that verse? Okay, alright. When you see a group of people doing wrong, what do? What's God's will? Follow. How do we practicalize this? If your whole class says, let's play truant, because teacher, whatever, okay, teacher don't know, or maybe exam over already. So never mind, don't go. What should you do? What's God's will? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. But you know, I think you go to school, so nothing to do one. Never mind lah. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do what is wrong. Okay, that's God's will in that situation. Okay, the next one, Joshua 1 verse 8. Okay, so what is God's will in this particular verse? Someone will say, what's it? Okay, so that person success. Okay, so what I have is God's will for us to preserve, keep, obey God's word continually so that we can be prosperous and have good success in all that we do. Okay? What I want us to do is actually go through this, because many of us say, I don't know what's God's will. This is how you actually find God's will. In every time you read the Bible, ask yourself, Lord, what is your will in this verse? Okay, next one, Joshua 24, verse 14. Okay, so what is God's will in this verse? Okay, what else? Okay, and so with the law. Okay, I have here. It is God's will for us to fear Him, to serve Him sincerely, because He serves in sincerity and truthfully. And to remove any idols in our hearts, in our life and in our house, and serve you the Lord. That's God's will. Right? Is it easy? Is it easy? It's pretty straightforward, right? Okay, the next one, Proverbs, maybe go over this side. Maybe Brother June, you can take Proverbs 1:7. Brother Desmond? Proverbs 13, verse 20. And then this one, I want the children. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Okay, the children. Okay? 12 and under. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Okay, Proverbs 1, verse 7. Okay, so what's the will of God in this verse? The fear of God for the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What's the will of God in this verse? Fear Him, yeah? So that we begin to have the knowledge of God, okay? And the second part, what is God's will? What I have here is, okay, the verse is, the fear of God is the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The will of God in this verse is that God wants us to fear Him, because that helps us to begin to have knowledge both for our life and living. And not to despise wisdom and instruction in which people are trying to tell us what to do which is right in the sight of God. Because then we become a fool. Okay? It requires a bit of thinking. But do you realize that God can guide us in our life? Do you realize when we follow these principles, our lives will grow, okay? Proverbs 13 verse 20. Okay, so what is God's will in this verse? Walk with wise men and? The second part. Walk with fools. Okay, I have here. It is God's will for us to walk with those who are wise, people who know, believe, and live the word of God, and to avoid having close friendship with those who despise God's word, or even believers who do not live God's word. Because the Bible says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We literally have a friend that our family knows. It's very sad because this particular teenage boy wanted to influence his Malay friends. Come to Christ, come to church. So he played soccer with them, all that. It turned out he became one of them. That's a sad thing. And it really broke the parents' heart. Need to be careful, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so it teaches us that yeah, we can have friend, but God says, I'm companion of all those who fear thy word. Psalm 119. Okay, so we need to be careful. God's will is for us to make friendship with wise men and avoid having close friendships. Not saying you don't be a friend, but avoid close friendship, especially for teenagers and those growing up. Please be very careful. Okay? Be friends to all, but be very careful of what character and philosophy they're trying to teach you. Right, the next one, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Okay, I'll read, then you tell me what is God's will, okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
For this is right.
What is God's will in that verse? For? What? Want to represent them? Bible is very clear, like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's God's will? Children, obey your parents. Is that hard? You know why it's hard? We start, but this, must understand this. God just says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First off, as a Bible believer, God says this. I'm not saying we be some simplistic. I was actually charged with that when I actually was writing to someone who was Calvinistic in his teaching. He said, oh, you're too simplistic in your interpretation. So when I say, if God says He loves the world, what does it mean? It means He loves the world. There's nothing else to it. God says, I love the world. So, you know, I understand some verses require a little bit more digging, but this is a very straightforward instruction. Children, obey your parents. That was what the Apostle Paul wanted to teach the Ephesian Christians to build strong families. Children, you listen to your parents because that's the right thing to do. He made it very clear. Alright? Because it is right. And one more verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Let's turn there, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. I'll read, then anyone can just shout out what you believe is God's will in this verse, okay? 1 John 2, 5 says, whoso keepeth his word, in him surely or verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in Him. What is God's will in this verse? Anyone? Just shout out the answer. What is God's will in this verse? Sorry? Keep God's word, okay? So you can love other people better. And that's not quite what the Lord is saying here. I think you're looking at the practical part already. Sorry? So that the love of God is matured, okay? Now it's interesting, I have here, it is God's will for us to obey God's word so that His love in us can be matured and perfected in us. This helps us to know and be assured that we are Christians. That's what the verse says. Okay? So any problems finding God's will right now when you read your Bible? I encourage you, for every time you read the Bible, just ask yourself, Lord, what is your will in this verse? What is your will in this verse? What is your will in this verse? And you will find God's will. God says, I will guide you. I will guide you. Trust in the Lord. Brother Jolly, I don't know what to do in this situation. You know, I keep having this and this and this. You know? I want to do this. Then what should you do? Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We have a lot of own understandings. God says, don't lean towards that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So we pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me to acknowledge You in everything, Lord. I want to put You first. And God said that He will direct thy path. Once you've gone through the trusting part, you put a heart, once you stop listening to your own thinking, once you have prayed, God says, I will lead you. It's happened before. That's what it means to seek God's will in His word. Maybe this is just a revealed word. And you know what, Christians, we need to absolutely know the revealed word. I can tell you, if you were just daily from now on for the next 3 months, just do this, you will find your life closer to Christ. Why? Because you begin to understand this is God's will. Maybe you say, but Johnny, what do I do with my friends? They're always asking me to drink or whatever. I don't know what they want to do. I say, Lord, what should I do? Bible says, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What do you think God's will is that? God says, stay away from wine. Alcohol will mock you. Alcohol will insult your intelligence. You think that you can control, but no. And then you make a decision, because God said this, I'm going to stay away from that. Does that make sense? And that's where, as a Christian, depending on the Holy Spirit and His Word, God can show us His will. Any questions? I deliberately wanted to bring this up because many Christians find that they cannot understand what God wants them to do. Hopefully, these few verses that I've gone through with you will help us to understand that. But any questions? Finding God's will, reading God's Word. This is just finding God's general will in all of life. We have not really learned everything that God wants us to do in His life, in this world. That's why we come for Bible studies, you do your own Bible reading, so that you can find God's will on a regular basis. The second level is knowing God's specific will, where God tells you, I do not only want you to follow this word. Maybe He's saying, so-and-so, I want you to go to whoever to be a missionary. That's where God uses His word and speaks to us specifically about His specific will in your life. But you will never be able to find God's specific will if you're not following His general will. If you're not even following what God says here, very hard for God to show you what specifically He wants you to do. Okay, I'm a firm believer in that. I believe that's Bible truth. And you'll find that many of the people that God called into specific ministries, both in the Bible and around the world, missionaries who have gone are people who have a life of following what God told them to do every step of the way. Because it's very hard for God to entrust a task to someone who cannot even do the small things. Alright, so can I encourage you to do that? Alright? So that's one. By His word, we can know His will. Okay, number two, by His providences. Okay, what do you mean by providences in response to our surrender? What does it mean by His providences? Romans 8 verse 28, we all know that verse, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God, we can know God's will by His providences in response to our surrender. And that's important. What does providence mean? Providence comes from two words. Pro, the prefix meaning before. Vidence comes from the word video, something you see. Which means that by God's seeing before, as we surrender to Him, God, we can know God's will by His providences in response as we surrender. God, you take control, I'm going to allow you to do it. And when God shows His providences through actions, to situations, and all that kind of thing, we can certainly know God's will, okay? When we are seeking God's guidance on a certain matter, we must take into account all the circumstances and expect Him to arrange this that we may understand His will. All right, let's turn to Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. If you have any questions, please stop me. In verse 5, Psalm 37 verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and I will bring it to pass. Right? No, the Bible says He will bring it to pass. When you have done all that you can do, sometimes all you need to do is to trust the Lord to work things out. Commit thy way. The word commit means give over, hand over. Hand over your way unto the Lord. Trust, put your full confidence and faith in an all-knowing God. And He will bring it to pass. And some of us are very fearful of the future. God says, give your future to God. Put your full confidence in Him. And let God, as you surrender, let God take control, all right, of the future. Some rules in determining providential situations. Okay, let me just very quickly, because some people may... That means anything that I heard a lot when, especially young Christians or Christians who have been to Pentecostal churches, they come, God spoke to me, God spoke to me. So some rules in determining providential situations. Number one, does it violate any part of God's word? You can write it down. Does it violate any part of God's word or the teachings that I know of already? Does it break any part of God's word? Okay? Is it a sin by specific command? Like if God says, thou shalt not steal, it's a job that requires you to steal like a robber, alright? And that's wrong, okay? That's just an example. Is this a sin by principle? Or is it a questionable thing that requires more exploration? Example, does God want me to stop reading my Bible? I had this vision, and God says, don't read that word, it's very dangerous, you know, don't read that, because you need to, I want to talk to you specifically. Then you come to church and say, well, God spoke to me. I say, I must stop reading the Bible, because God says He's going to speak to me. Many Christians say, wow, so spiritual already. No. Is it God's will? No. Okay, that's very clear. Another question, does God want me to be a bartender? God want me to be a bartender? Obviously? No. Okay? Because, why? Does God want us to be bartenders? Why? I'm not drinking one. I'm just serving. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, search the word. Cursed is he that giveth his neighbor drink. Okay? So there's a principle that... that's why when I was traveling back and forth from Australia, when I go to study, there was this mechanic in Australia said, can you, through your duty-free, can you buy this alcohol? I said, no, sorry, I don't buy alcohol. I said, huh? Just buy one here. Never mind, just buy for me. I said, no, sorry, I don't buy. But I cannot buy, I can give it to him. All right, that's my use of that principle, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, that I won't actually do that. Okay? So you're very careful in this. All right, another question is, does God want me to be an insurance agent? Anything wrong with being an insurance agent? None that I know of. You know? Does God want you to be a soldier? Does God want you to be... You need to seek God's will, okay, in these specific things. But the reason why I brought this is, does it violate any scriptural principles? No. But if it's bartender, definitely there are clear scriptural principles, then we should actually stay away from that, okay? Number two question, will it affect my relationship with God? Will it affect my Christian life? Will it affect my service to the Lord in the church? And this is important, okay? Because Singapore is such a global country now, people go everywhere, and some people will take a job in a place where there's no church. Okay, and what happens is sometimes because of the internet, they can still access sermons and things like that. And it's important that they keep a discipline in that. But I know of one particular missionary who went to a place where there's no church, trying to, because there's no fellowship, and he didn't bother to travel up 2 hours just to fellowship. You know, after 6 months, that missionary actually walked away from God. Okay, actually didn't believe the Trinity, didn't believe the virgin birth and things like this. Just 6 months. You need to be very, very careful there. Okay, will it affect my relationship with God? And so have I asked a multitude of counselors? Because God says a multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Alright? Okay, one more point by the Holy Spirit in response to our earnest prayer. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. So God shows us His will in three ways: by His Word, by His providences, and thirdly by His Holy Spirit. He works in our hearts. In verse 26, likewise the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, also helpeth us in our weaknesses, in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now this is an interesting... I'll just explain this. I saw this explanation. It's really useful. Just imagine that you are here. Okay, you are here. Alright, there's something in your heart, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, and God is over here, okay? And the Holy Spirit is in our heart. The Bible says the Holy Spirit actually helps us to pray, okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helps us our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit itself makes intercession. God, the Holy Spirit, actually takes what's in our heart and brings it to God. Okay, God the Father, you know, this Johnny has this in his heart, you know, he don't know what to pray, but I know your will. Okay, so this is what he's talking about. You know, in that particular passage, it shows us the Holy Spirit has a very active, what we call it, active role in our life, in our prayer life. When we cannot pray, God helps us to pray. That's what the Bible verse says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And God the Father, verse 27, that searches our heart, knows what is happening in the mind of the Holy Spirit of God, because He makes intercession for us according to the will of God? Why is it that sometimes things just work out in our lives? Oh yeah, you agonize over some time, but you just don't know what to do, and suddenly things worked out. How many of you have experienced before? Suddenly things just worked out. I said, oh, well, thank God that it worked out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit took what's heavy on our hearts that we don't know how to pray, brings it to God, and settles that. Because He prays according to God's will. Okay? So, in earnest prayer, we can be sure of God's will when the clear teaching of God's Word, the providential leading, and the voice of the Holy Spirit harmonize. Okay? The most important for us, thing for us, is to learn to wait on God. Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When we wait on God, there is a misconception. When we wait on God, there's a misconception among Christians that when we wait on God means we don't do anything. It's not God's will. As a servant waits for the master to return, the servant is still busy doing all the things he's supposed to do. Agree? There's a very, very important principle in the scriptures. Okay, as we are waiting for the coming of Christ, for example, we cannot just stay on a hilltop and just wait for Christ to come. We must be very clear. When we wait on the Lord, it means that we still have our duties to perform. We need to perform those duties. But when we wait on the Lord, it means our heart should actually grow stronger and stronger in trusting God. Say, God, my heart is at peace with you because I know you're going to bring it to pass. I'm just going to do what I need to do. Okay? So, any questions as we close about knowing God's will? Have we grown a step more in understanding that we can know God's will as we read the Bible? How many of you will say, Brother Johnny, now I understand a little bit more when I read the Bible, what does it mean to seek God's will? Is there anyone that have any questions? That means even children can do it. You just have to understand the verse and ask yourself, what is God's will? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God's will is for me to obey my parents in the Lord. When my parents ask me to do the things, study hard, to clean the toilet or whatever, I just do it because it's the right thing to do. Okay? So which means that all of us who can read can actually know God's will. And those of us who can't read but can hear, there's an audio Bible, we can still listen and still know God's will. None of us. Okay, so that is a very, very important thing because many Christian claims they don't get anything out of God's Word. But can I tell you, every time, as I close, every time you open the Word of God, God wants to speak to us. He wants to. Just like a father looking at a child running, hey, how are you? And start hugging the little child and things like this because he wants that interaction. Okay, any questions? Let's just close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can just pour our hearts before you, Lord. Everyone is just reflecting, I hope. I'm asking you, Father, to help us to know your will. Help us to know your will in every situation, Lord. That word is just an open book for us. And Father, if we just follow it, Father, you promised that you will bless us. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Lord, you promise us success as we obey your word, because it's constantly open. I pray for every young child who can read the Bible. Lord, may they find your will in every page, in every verse. May they ask themselves, Lord, what is your will for us? Father, I pray for every teenager, that they will begin to find out your will. The Lord, they will not give the reason that they cannot understand your word. Father, it is so clear, Lord. Thy word is so plainly written that we might understand. And I pray for every young person, Lord. I pray that you will guide them even as they seek answers to decisions in their lives. That, Father, they will be able to find your will in the written word. For, Lord, there are so many things that you have for us. I pray for every parent, Lord, that they themselves will seek out your will and then be able to teach it to their children. To show them plainly what your word teach. Lord, it is not in your plan to make your word complicated. It is in your plan to make it so simple that even a child can understand. We know the Bible is so deep that even the most intelligent man on earth will not be able to finish digging. And even infinite time, even throughout eternity, Lord, we will not be able to fully understand the riches contained in Thy Word. For we know that Thy wisdom is unsearchable. So, Lord, we pray that every Christian here at least will know that those things that You have revealed to us, Lord, You want us to know. I pray You strengthen every believer with this knowledge, that they can discover the will of God, that they will not waste time, the 24 hours every day, that they will understand what the will of the Lord is, and that, Father, they will not be unwise, they will not be rash, they will not be impulsive, they will not be ignorant, they will not be egotistic in their thinking, but they will discern what Your will is. No, thank You, Lord. Make Ambassador a wise church that will seek and discern Your will at every point. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.